Good Monday morning, Tucson, and welcome to another week, another day, another show here on the Creative City Show, where daily, Monday through Friday, 10 to 12, we get to share the stories and strategies of the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. And along the way, we get to envision, debate, and discuss the issues and themes that can get us to our best possible future, a future that I argue continually on this show is closer than we think, with a potential that is greater than we know. And every day on the show, we get to have that conversation. What does that look like? What does that mean? And that is my job here, is to curate those conversations and to have those times where we get to dive into what that means. And I'm looking forward to the week ahead. Got a strong lineup of guests all throughout the week. I won't spoil it too soon. Looking forward to getting going here today. Today is our Talking Tucson Monday, where we start out the week by talking about happenings over the weekend or that popped up in the news as we entered the week that matter to you. We enter an 11 o'clock hour I'm looking forward to. We'll talk education scholarships with the American Federation for Children at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. And then we'll chat with a friend of mine, Amanda Bruno, who just got back from New York City, fresh off of Smart Cities New York. So I'm looking forward to talking more with her after a week spent in New York, talking about this idea of smart cities. I've brought it up on the show. I've talked about it. It's this combination of kind of urban issues with technology to solve them. But I'm looking forward to talking more with her about what that means. So here's the deal, Tucson. I always come in with some things that I've looked at over the weekend or at the top of the week that are of interest to me. And today it's going to be roads, shared revenues, and population growth. Roads, shared revenues, and population growth. Looking at a Pima County budget proposal, setting aside a certain amount of money for road repairs. That's what I'll be starting out talking about, but I really want to have a conversation with you. So 790-2040 is your front door key to our live line, where Bob is awaiting your call to punch in, and we'll talk. We'll have a conversation. So as I talk about the things that I think are newsworthy or interesting to kick off our week, as we're getting our second cups of coffee and getting into our workflow at work, maybe, or maybe you have the day off. You're one of those lucky Mondayers who have the weekend off. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, let's engage in a conversation. It certainly makes everything more fun when we get to tap into what I believe is the power of local radio. And that's the only medium where we can have real-time conversation about conversations that matter. It's a beautiful thing. So 790-2040 is that number to call in. What should we be talking about? What's interesting to you over the weekend? What is something that you are mulling over and thinking about in the news or about Tucson that you think we should be talking about? So let me start by walking through this article that is in the Star this morning. It's titled Pima County Budget Proposal Would Set Aside $26 million for Road Repairs. While the county has been building new roads and fixing old ones every year since Arizona became a state, according to this writer, the decision to create a line in the county budget specifically for street maintenance is new. The $26 million sum comes from a variety of sources, including increased state shared revenues, unused funds reallocated from a 1997 roads bond, a reduction in overall county debt leading to reduced payments, and a reorganization of the county street department, which laid off 36 employees earlier this year. When you scroll down, it says, with the county's transportation department already funded by the state's gas tax and vehicle license registrations, county officials have been unwilling to tap the general fund, which primarily supports most of the services provided in the county, including law enforcement, parks, and the health department. Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry writes in a recent memo that the ability to set aside this amount of funding for pavement preservation is unprecedented in recent history. It's more than has been possible, he writes, in the last 10 years. How far will it go? Well, this article writes about a couple of costs. The cheapest form of repair, known as a fog seal, costs about $35,200 per mile, while tearing up an old street and rebuilding it costs roughly $792,000 per mile. And then don't forget, because we kind of touched on it last week with the Pima County Preschool Investment Proposal, PCPIP, that the final adoption of the county budget is expected next month. So, I mean, $26 million from the general fund for road repair. I think a lot of people who have been commenting on county affairs of late would see that as a win. But I want to tackle that from a bit of a different perspective here, and that is the long term status of road repair funding. So I'm going to walk through a few ideas that came to mind as I was reading this, a few things that I dug into, and I want your thoughts. If you have an idea or you have a thought or you have a comment, 790-2040. So there's something about local roads and local repair. So I want to start big picture. As much as Pima County seems to struggle with it, this is a national trend of our infrastructure and our roads breaking down. Between 2009, this is according to an organization called Transportation for America, between 2009 and 2017, the percentage of the roads nationwide in poor condition increased from 14% to 20%. So over a period of 8 years, from 2009 to 2017, the percentage of the roads nationwide in poor condition increased from 14 to 20%. Between 2009 and 2017, the full public road network has grown by nationwide, get this, almost 224,000 lane miles. They estimate that $5 billion dollars per year will be required to just maintain those lane miles added nationwide between 2009 and 2017. So get this. The latest available data, according to this group called it's called Transportation for America, shows that states are still spending just as much on expansion as repair. States spent $21.4 billion on average on road repair annually and $21.3 billion annually on road expansion between 2009 and 2014. These investments, this research writes, in expansion don't just redirect funds away from much-needed investments in repair. They continually grow our annual spending need, widening the gap. Every new lane mile of road costs approximately $24,000 per year to preserve in a state of good repair. So the amount of money required to maintain roads is enormous. 37 states saw an increase in the percentage of roads in poor condition between 2009 and 2017. In fact, in Arizona, they looked at this is Arizona as a whole. They looked at about 12,000 miles of road, and they found that 19% were in poor condition, 38% were in fair condition, 41% were in good condition. Now, why do I bring this up? Why do I go at a national level? Then why do I back into the state level? Why do I talk about the state road conditions and Transportation for America? Here's what I'm getting at, and I'm not an expert on this stuff yet. I certainly did a lot of digging when I read this article. I did a lot of research. If you could see how many tabs I have open on this computer of mine, you can hardly even tell what's here. You can see the icon, and that's it. I have so many tabs pulled up because I kept digging and digging and digging and digging. That's the interesting part of doing this show is you'd be surprised how much digging that I do. And by the way, when you give me homework, I try to complete it. If you're out there and you got a question or you bring up something I don't know the answer, I will tell you I don't know the answer because I'd rather do the smart thing and not look stupid, but I do my homework. So 790-2040, I offer for you to call in. But why do I start at the state level? Because for as much as we talk about road repair, street repair, our infrastructure, we have a bad habit, local up through national, of building more than we repair and not repairing enough. And I think there is a city case to be made, certainly a Tucson and a county case to be made, that we need as a county to do two things. Here are my two thoughts, right? Because there is a percentage of state shared revenue. There's a percentage of the general fund that goes in Pima County just towards road repair. It would be unfair and absolutely incorrect to say that we have to bond that every time that we need it. Simply, the county, if you don't know, and I'm learning this as well within the last couple of weeks, the county is mainly driven off of property tax, right? So the city of Tucson is sales tax driven. Pima County is property tax driven. It's the main way that the county and the city make money. Not the only way, but the main way that we need to figure out how to grow the amount of money that we can put towards road maintenance first and foremost before any road expansion, fund expansion, if that makes sense. We need to figure out how to make sure that we have a stable and a rainy day amount of money in our budget for repair, for maintenance. And part B, when I look at these national numbers, when I look at these state numbers, we can't bond our way out of this. We can't bond our way out of this for much longer, and maybe we shouldn't. Those are my two thoughts. We need to figure out how to expand our budget line item for repair of roads, and we need to figure out how to do it without bonding, because our ancestors have expanded the number of lanes and roads and et cetera to a point where it is costing billions of dollars nationally to maintain what we have. And $24 million is probably just a drop in the bucket, even though what I want to say is this move by the county to move money over from other parts of the general fund into road repair, I believe is a good move. I believe that's where we need to be going, and I'm not the first or last person to say that. So that is probably where I will close this segment. Is A, I think this is a good move by the county. Should have been done a long time ago. We need to figure out how to move money into a repair account. And I've got a couple reasons for you on the other side of the break why I believe so strongly in that and how to get there. I've got some census data to run by you, because you know how you raise, how you create more income without raising taxes. If you're the county, more people here that are buying property, right?
There you go. I do have a question.
Okay.
But it's not one of those Steve Rivera, what a weird question questions. I will tell you that right up front. But is there a clearinghouse, a website, or other government or non-government place you can go to find out the exact amount of bonds at any given moment the city of Tucson owes on or is paying on, and you know what they're rated, when they're due? Is there anything?
It's a great question. I don't know. If I had to guess, I would assume, when it comes to transportation, and well, maybe not just transportation, but like PAG, I would probably start with the PAG site, Pima Association of Governments. Especially, that's probably actually where I would start. I'll just end it there because they keep the RTA tabulated. They are a cross-section of governments in our region. If I had to start somewhere, that's probably where I would start. But what I find is this information is out there just in a million places, thus the clearinghouse comment, right? I'm tracking with you, Bob.
Because it's so misleading to find even what you're suggesting, and then I'm led to think, well, what percentage, you know, is RTA and transportation, you know, what, how much other, I know there's other bonds, but where do you go? So,
right.
Not that you need more on your plate, but I was just thinking that if anybody knew that, if anybody knew the answer, it would be you, Mr. Y.
Well, I will try to do better, Bob. I will get on that. If anyone's listening, by the way, and you know a place or a couple of places where you can track that, I'd be curious as well. I got homework. Bob gave me homework.
I really didn't mean to do that to you. I want you to have a life.
This is my life, Bob. This is my life.
Well, I'm.
You should see the tabs on my computer.
Yes.
Oh man. Did I mention? I can't remember if I mentioned that the gas tax in the state has not been raised for about 30 years. So the gas tax is one way.
On a state level, it hasn't been raised.
It has, yeah, it has not.
But has not the, is it not taxed on a county? No?
Or local? My understanding is that a state? If anyone's listening and if I'm wrong, correct me. I believe it's state, and then it's a shared revenue item that gets dispersed to local municipalities.
Depending on how pretty you are? Or like, I meant the city. That was a silly Maricopa comment. Sorry.
Well. So I'll actually get into this in the next segment. Though it's funny you mention it. When you say pretty, I'm air quoting pretty. What we get from state shared revenue is, of course, proportional to our population. And when it comes to roads, it's proportional to how many people are on our roads, is my understanding. So if you look at, for example, Pinell County and Maricopa County, they're getting a lot more of these like HERF dollars and gas tax dollars and so on and so forth, because there's just more people, more usage on the roads. And it's actually, when you look at it per capita, they're getting a lot more per capita than we are in Pima. So actually, why it's so funny you went there, Bob, because that's where I want to go in the next segment. I've got some demographic data for you. I've looked at Maricopa's growth and Pima County's growth. I've looked at some census data, and I've done some number crunching when it relates to our region. And my proposal is, and I'm going to get into this when we get back, my proposal is that we getting the roads done and done well is probably the egg that creates the chicken, right, of population growth and stability. And I'm going to get into that on the other side of the break. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. 520-790-2040 is your front door key to this conversation. Calling over the break, get queued up with Bob. We'll get to your calls on the live line on our way back in. You're on the Creative City Show. Thanks for listening. Come on back. Tucson, welcome back. Welcome back to this Monday. Our Monday just got started here on the show. We're on the air 10 to 12, Monday through Friday, every day here on 1030 The Voice, talking about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future. 790-2040 is your front door key to our conversation. And we have a great two-hour show lined up for you. This hour, we are talking Pima County. We're talking roads. We're talking about shared revenue. We're talking about population growth. We're talking about general fund expenditures on road repair. Get back to that in a second. But I also want to highlight that in our 11 o'clock hour, we got some good things coming at you. We're going to talk education scholarships with the American Federation for Children. And then we'll be chatting with Amanda Bruno, just back from a week in New York City for the Smart Cities New York conference, looking at the current state and future of smart cities and what they are. Smart cities is a term that has been used a lot on this show and a lot out there in the ether. I wanted to get some more information on what it is, a great definition for it, what it could mean for Tucson. So I'm looking forward to To Amanda's conversation with me about it. And she's actually working for her master's degree at the School of Government and Public Policy. So she's one of those people who will not just be talking about this stuff, but implementing it in the years to come. So excited for that conversation. But we're kicking off today's show talking about the Pima County budget proposal that would set aside $26 million for road repair. And no doubt this it comes on the heels of a recent bond that was voted no at the county level in the last election. And so now there's a need, and Mr. Huckleberry has written extensively on this since then, a need to figure out how to really have money from the general fund be put into road repair. And I talked about nationally we can feel like this is a big issue in our county, and it is, but nationally, it's a huge issue. We are finding that nationally, states, counties, local jurisdictions are spending $21.6 billion just repairing current roads, and $20 some million on repairing current roads, $20 some million on making new ones. And I think we've got a bit of a priority shift nationally that we need to make. And my point in the last segment is that I believe that we're at a point, or we're getting close to a point where we have to figure out how to have general fund dollars readily available, and we can't bond our way out of this. If I'm looking at the national data, the state data of roads that are in misrepair here in our state, in our region, that we have to do more of what the county is proposing, and that is figure out a way with our current income to take better care of our roads. I want to take another step back and talk about a couple of elements. First things first, when it comes to the budget, how Pima County makes its revenue. I'm looking at an AZ Auditor report on Pima County. Seems pretty standard. Looking at the revenue sources, basically. Property taxes make up almost 43% of Pima County's revenue, of its budget. So when Pima County sets its budget, it's basing it off of 43% is based on property taxes. State share taxes, right? So taxes that go to the state and then get dispersed, not just through our county or our city, but in every county, in every city, goes up to the state, comes back down. State share taxes make up about 13.2%, and then everything from investment earnings to capital grants to operating grants and contributions, charges for services make up the other 45%. Charges for services make up the most after property taxes, in fact, at 23.4%. Now, why do I bring that up? Again, Pima County's dominant income is property taxes. The city of Tucson is the sales tax. That's kind of how it's broken out up there. I wanted to dig into. I want to talk about population, and how that plays into the income that Pima County eventually has to work with. Again, 790-2040 is your opportunity to jump on our live line and have a conversation with us about this. I know listeners on this station for many years have been having very healthy conversation around roads and infrastructure, and no doubt many of you listening do on a daily or weekly basis, so I want to hear from you. But I'm looking at a recent budget of Pima County, and they do kind of a demographic and a population look. In 2000, the total of Pima County was 843,746 people. In 2010, which was our last census year, I'm looking actually to get some of the census guys on the show to talk about the importance of the upcoming U.S. Census here in 2020, was 980,263 back in 2010. I understand it's breached a million since then, so there's been some growth. But here's the growth rates that I think are important. Pima County total had a 2.4% growth rate from 1990 to 2000, right? Arizona overall had 3.4%. Between 2000 and 2010, Pima County had a 1.5% growth rate, so a full percentage less than the decade before. Arizona overall had a 2.2% growth rate. Similarly, a percentage point less in that decade, but still more population growth than in Pima. My last number to throw your way, and I think this is interesting. I looked on the U.S. Census Bureau, and I looked at their estimations from 2010 to 2018, and it looks like Pima County, right? You can go in and you can search counties. Pima County has had a 6% increase in its population growth from April 1st, 2010 to July 1st, 2018. That's a rough estimate. We won't know for sure until 2020. Maricopa County has had a 15.5% increase over the 8-year period between 2010 and 2018. All right, I'm making a case here. I've got one more thing to throw your way. Again, 790-2040. Would love to have a conversation with you. I'm sensing a trend, and I want to get your thoughts on it. I'm looking at the residential population shifts that have been looked at in the last again that 2010 to 2018 area. The city has seen a 2% growth between 2010 and 2018, and only 4% in the region. In fact, employment population has grown nada between 2010 and 2015. Between 2010 and 2015, the region grew nada. The city by negative 3%, and downtown by almost negative 4%. I think what these numbers are starting to point to is one of two things. One, Pima County is growing at a slower rate than other parts of the state. And when it comes to property tax revenue, we have to make sure that we not only have a city and a region, but a region that is retaining people here. I bang this drum all the time on the show. I think when it comes to priorities, financial priorities for the county, research was done out of a couple organizations locally that asked both people who live here and people who don't live here what they least like about the city, right? So whether it's your out-of-town guest from Colorado or your family from Sonora, Mexico that is driving up for the weekend, or the people like Bob and I who live here full-time, both parties said the thing that they like the least about Tucson, about our region, is roads. And to me, that says that one of the things that we need to do to retain people and companies and attract them here is to get our roads right. That's no surprise. That's not new information. But certainly when we look at the percentage of growth that Maricopa has had, again, state shared revenues, income that comes back to states, either created by them or from the state level, is based on population and usage. And in Pima County, I think the numbers show this, we don't have enough of a population here. We don't have enough usage here to justify more funds coming back to the county to be used for our infrastructure. I think that this is, and again, this, I'm not the only one to have this opinion, and this is not new, brilliant information. I think that roads is one of our top priorities to getting fixed and getting done. I think if that's a strategic major first step, then we get the young people staying here. We get the businesses coming here. We get the economic development going. We get our enterprise moving, which allows for more income to be created at certainly a property level, which in turn can grow our general fund, which in turn can create that funding stream to not just have to bond every time we've got a big road repair, but to have money coming into it. By the way, I would say that this is also a challenge at the city of Tucson level. And the city manager, I think, has talked about this publicly, that we can't just bond our way to roads and to cops. that those have to be a steady stream of income, right? So the city of Tucson, at a local government level, a couple of years ago, passed this five-year tax that provides for road repair and provides for cops and other city services. But after 5 years, that runs out, right? These taxes are only put in place for a certain period of time. After that, you got to figure out how to raise it again, or you got to figure out what you're going to do. So I think we got a chicken and egg thing here. I think getting our roads to a point where we can retain people and businesses and homes and families is an important strategic first step. We've got to figure out a way as a county, as a city, as local municipalities to be able to fund this stuff without having to raise extra taxes. So those are my observations. Again, I'm not putting myself out there as someone who just all of a sudden had this eureka moment. A lot of smart people are talking about this, but I wanted to use this proposal that came out this morning as a way to talk about some numbers that I think reflect a bigger picture happening here. Let's see. We've got a couple of callers in just a minute before we go to break. Let's take Paul on line two. Paul, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks. Yeah, I'm wondering about what you feel about the fairness of us residents of the county who have to shop in the city. Now, we pay a lot higher real estate taxes out here, and then we have to go shopping in the city and pay the city an extra 2%. Like, I just recently bought a car for my wife, and that 2% can come up to an extra $1,000, and that goes to the city, but I still have to pay the increased real estate taxes. Somebody must know about this and see the unfairness of it.
Hmm. That's a great point. I don't know if I have a good answer. I will say that I've been often frustrated by the flip side, Paul. It's kind of humorous. There's a lot of new businesses and developments happening in Tucson where they're in the city of Tucson 9 to 5 and then go somewhere else to live. And I wonder the same exact thing on the flip side is you know, regionally there's a benefit, but personally and then jurisdiction wise, whether it's city or county, it seems a little bit off. I have to agree with you. I just don't know if I have a good enough answer.
Okay, thanks for your show.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you listening and calling in always. Keep doing it. Thank you, sir. Let's see. I've got time for one more call. I have Len on line three. Len, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, Zach. I want to talk a little bit about the roads in respect to, I guess they're going to finally fix them, and it's about time. What they should have done is fix the roads first and then build the bicycle loop. Now, I'm a cyclist, and I use the loop, but the thing about it is you take care of the people first. What with broken-down roads, motorists naturally get frustrated, especially when they know that they built the bicycle loop for the cyclist. And I understand that, but the thing is the roads should have been taken care of first.
Thanks, Len. I appreciate your call. What your call reminded me of a conversation I was having on the air, I think it was last week, talking about the new bike park that's being potentially proposed for Saguaro Park, National Park East, out on the east side. And one of the cyclists said, this is great, but to get there is heck, because the roads are so bad that, and there's going to be so many cyclists, and the roads are not in a condition where both motorists and cyclists can share the road. So I think you're right on that count. And you know what, Len? I have to agree with you that if we take care of the stuff that our city and county is called to take care of, and it's people-focused and people-centered, if we take care of our people, the rest will come. And I truly believe that, even though I know it sounds simple and maybe a little cliche. I've wondered that about, you know, bigger issues in the city. I'm on record for saying this, and maybe I don't have the full picture, and if I don't call in, you know, but I love the conversation on annexation is so interesting to me, because there's definitely an economic picture to be made if you annex in different parts of unincorporated into the city. There's a lot of benefit to a lot of people, but a challenge that I've heard to annexation, to incorporation, is that who wants to be a part of the city of Tucson. And so we keep having this argument of trying to convince people to come into the city who don't want to be in the city, rather than just taking care of the city first, taking care of the people, taking care of the roads, taking care of the stuff that matters, making sure there's security on the streets, and then starting from there. That's what's going to keep people in our city and take care of people and make it a place where people want to live. I can't be that crazy. That's not that crazy of a thought. But
it's been the issue for at least 50 years anyway.
Yeah. Which might, let's see, I think I can sneak one more call in, which might lead into Richard on line two. Richard, thanks for calling in. How do we raise money for all this?
Zach, I think the answer is we've got to develop a big, big marijuana farm, a big hemp farm. I mean, where is the money nowadays, right? I mean, serious. I'm a little facetious there, but why not? The sales tax is maxed out. We're at 8.75. We can't really go any higher. Gas tax is maxed out. Well, the price of gas is up right now because the president we have is taunting Iran needlessly. But we're maxed out on taxes across this country. And in fact, the defense industry has drained the money that we needed for our roads and our infrastructure in this country. We could use that $100 billion a year we're wasting on Afghanistan right now. What could we have done with that for our country the last 10, 15 years? So, but nevertheless, where can we make some money? I don't know if we have the innovation or the ability to do it, but why not a huge marijuana farm, a huge hemp farm?
Isn't the tax already pre-decided on that by legislation, Zach? I believe it's all the state, right? And then they decide where it goes from there?
Correct.
There's no federal involvement whatsoever because it's illegal, right? So,
and Bob, I'm just saying, let's just go into the business. You know, we can be our own distributor.
Hey, like Chicago.
I've heard Albuquerque's talking about that, or New Mexico or somebody. We need to get out in front of something here because we can't just keep taxing. We got to make some money.
Yep. Richard, Richard, I agree. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to jump on the marijuana wagon on that. But that's exactly my point in this hour, is not figure out how to tax more or tax higher, but how to increase the income streams that we have. So I'm at that conclusion. I'm with you. I'm trying to figure out what that could look like, what innovation is possible. But Richard, I agree with your call. I think we're on the same page, big picture. I knew it, Bob. I knew that if I put Pima County and roads together, that those three words would create some good conversation. I like where this is going. But I am getting the hairy eyeball from Bob, which means that we need to go visit some sponsors. When we come back, I'll finish up on this topic, and then we're going to cruise towards hour number two, the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to talk education scholarships. We're going to talk empowering kids for the future. And we're going to talk smart cities with Amanda Bruno, fresh from a week in New York City. Tucson, do not go away. You're on 1030 The Voice, 790-2040. Get those phones out. Call in. We'll get to you when we get back. Tucson, welcome back. And thank you for joining us on this lovely Monday. I don't know why, I don't know how, but it's a little chilly out there and it's raining. I got out of my car in the nick of time. I opened the door of the station, I looked back, and it was raining cats and dogs, and I just missed it. I also missed it on my run this morning. I got sprinkled on a little bit, but then I got here and it just is pouring. So I don't know what this is, but I think some are, I saw an article, I don't remember the details, but talking about an earlier monsoon season and maybe some cooler temp. So I would be happy about that. But if you're just joining us, we're wrapping up a conversation where we are delving into some of the details around this proposal that I read about this morning, about a Pima County budget proposal that would set aside $26 million for road repairs. And the key aspect of this that I've been talking about is that it would not be a tax or a bond, but it would be out of the general fund. And they figured out a couple of areas where they could pull that from. And according to Mr. Huckleberry, that's a pretty unusual thing in the last decade. My My personal feeling is that that's where we need to be going, where we need to figure out, based on looking at national and state trends, our infrastructure is so burdened, is so bad across the country, that we're going to have to figure out how to have a general fund and a general slush fund, I believe, for maintaining roads, right? So across the nation, our states are spending $21 billion just to maintain existing infrastructure. That's certainly here in Tucson and Pima County. We can't bond, I think, or tax our way out of this. We have to figure out, how can we increase, in Pima County's case, I believe, property tax income by keeping and bringing people here, how we reprioritize our funding to make sure that our infrastructure has funding going towards it. And I think by doing that, we'll also see the families and people and businesses moving here that benefit our community. So those are some of my thoughts. I've jumped into a lot of data. If you're just joining in, kvoi.com/podcasts is where you can go get the replay of this hour if you need to, and listen to some of my thoughts and some of the numbers to back it up. Again, in an 8-year period, according to the Census Bureau, estimated Pima County grew by 6.6%, Maricopa grew by 15%. And when it comes to state shared revenue and monies and HERF dollars coming based on usage and population, you can see why Maricopa gets a lot more. So those are some of my thoughts. I'm learning with you. I'm talking with you. I'm conversing with you, which leads me to our live line on line 2. I've got Chuck talking roads, roads, roads. Chuck, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Zach. You know, that article makes it sound like Huckleberry's a white knight coming to save us from our bad roads. You know, this is something that, as far as I'm concerned, should have been a top priority for the county all along, and they should have had it part of the budget general fund. Now, as far as I understand, that $26 million is not going to be spent all in 1 year. It's going to be broken up into 5-year segments, which is about $5 million a year.
Yes.
If you take that $5 million and divide that into the overall budget, general fund budget of the county, that's $1.3 billion, you come out with a figure of 1/3 of 1%. 1/3 of 1%. That is nothing.
Yep.
Have you figured that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. But yet, it makes it sound like Huckleberry is doing this wonderful thing. You know, it's really disturbs me. That's all I got to say, Zach. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck, for listening. I appreciate it. And thanks for doing that math, by the way. I think that was valuable. Again, I mentioned this in the beginning, but the cheapest form of street repair and road repair is known as fog seal. It costs about $35,200 per mile, while tearing up an old street and rebuilding it costs roughly $792,000 per mile. So if you will permit me, let me see if I can do correct math on the fly here. So let's see. I'm taking $5 million. I'm dividing it by 35,200.
And while you're doing that, keep in mind though, you're not comparing acetaminophen with Tylenol, so you know that. You can't, yeah, because that chip and seal is kind of what it's called. I used to be in that business.
Sure.
Back when, before you were born, or anyway, gosh, I'm old. And it's not going to last. You know, you're going to get a few years out of it, whereas if they pull it up and replace it, then they're going to get, you know, more like 10 years.
Right.
But that cheap way, which is a great way if you just need it to look nice when the president gets in town or something.
Right.
But what I was trying to create... broadcast noise while you were utilizing your calculator. What was the final tally, Boss?
The final tally was 142 miles. So, again, Chuck is correct, and the article backs it up. That $25 million wouldn't be spent in one place at one time. It would be $5 million over 5 or so years. And again, if we look at fog seal, what you were talking about, Bob, at $35,200 per mile, if you just focus that $5 million a year on the fog seal, you could fog seal 142 miles of road a year, which, again, I don't know. I have nothing to compare that to. I don't know if that's great. I don't know if it's not. I don't have the number of how many miles we have, you know, in county. I don't know what that does and what percentage of roads need to be repaired. And I don't know those numbers, but I know that 142 miles can be cheaply repaired. But if you look at rebuilding, tear up an entire street and rebuild it, and that's almost $750,000 per mile. You've got 5 miles a year that you can tear up and fix. So,
and you can that is such a great photograph to kind of give you the idea of just they put down, you know, the gravel and then just give it a real light coat of, you know, basically oil and asphalt that glues it all together. You know, you put one more little coat of gravel on it and you're like, cool, and it's good, but not for a whole long, time. But
So it's not a lot. And I just want to make sure that with 2 minutes to go that everyone listening understands that my tone is a little bit more forward looking with this is to say that, look, yes, it's $5 million a year. But here's my point. It's from the general fund. That is a step in the right direction. I think, as Chuck said, that should have been done for a long time. And I'm not a supervisor. I haven't been in the thick of things. I don't know all the reasons why and why not. And there's certainly a lot of people that would surmise what that is. What I'm saying is I'm looking forward. And I'm saying that this is a good move. It may be a drop in the bucket, but it's where we need to be going. And any way that we can figure out to not only use our current general fund for maintenance, but how to expand that budget through work in our county and our region. That's where we need to be going. And I think, like Chuck said, we're going to retain people here in a better way once our roads and our public safety are more on point. And once that happens, then we're going to see, I think, our region be what we know it can be. So I just wanted to put that out there. There's a lot of I think hosts on this station that cover different angles of that. I'm looking forward. I'm looking at what we need to do from here. And from, again, somebody that just saw this article and did some digging, that's what I've come up with. I'm learning right along with you, trying to be an informed citizen and do my best to share information. So we are closing in on the end of the show. I want to thank you for joining us this first hour, but do not go away. We're going to talk about education scholarships for kids in our area, giving them the best possible opportunities for education in our city and our region. And then we're going to talk to Amanda Bruno about her recent trip to New York City for Smart Cities New York City. What does that term mean? What could it apply to Tucson? What could we do with it? Where could we go from there? So thank you again. Call in your live line for the rest of the next hour, 790-2040. You're on 1030 The Voice. Engage in conversation with us. Thanks for listening. See you on the other side as we talk to some great guests here on this beautiful, rainy, cold, windy Monday morning in May of all things in Tucson. We'll be right back.